Father, we do thank you today in the mighty name of Jesus for another day, for another assignment, for another chance, God, to come into your presence, Jesus. We thank you for your mighty presence here today, God. We don't take it for granted. We say, God, don't pass us by today. We want more of you, Jesus. We want more of your presence, God. What we've tasted is good. It's so good. But we know there's more. So we're asking for more today. More of you, God. More of you in our lives. More of you in our homes. More of you in our families, God. Set us ablaze today. Set us ablaze today, Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus, every heart set ablaze fresh today. Every family set ablaze today in the glorious presence of Jesus. Shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, Freedom House. It's Assignment Sunday.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
As Pastor Rochelle and I said, we are so excited to get to start this new year and this new assignment from the Lord with you. And we've come with great faith and great expectation today to hear what the Spirit will say to us as we lean into another year.
Hallelujah.
Now, we know for some in Spirit-filled streams, this is a time where many are releasing their prophetic words of what they think God's going to do in this next year. But our emphasis has been more focused on an assignment for our house to grab a hold of and fulfill. It's like God revealing the next step of our revival journey that we need to complete in order to advance to the next level. Come on. Last week we graduated. Well, hopefully we did. Last week we graduated. And now it's time for the next grade. It's time for the next level. So what we do, if you're not familiar with it, or if it's been a year, come on. Pastor Rochelle and I seek the Lord. We fast, we pray, we lean in, and we ask the Lord to show us the next phase that we all, come on, all of us, need to solidify and incorporate in our daily lives so that we are able to effectively do what he's called us to do. Come on, we know God moves in times and seasons, and he's always working, and he's always positioning us according to his perfect will if we let him.
Yes.
Now, like we've said before, these assignments build on top of each other, and they also don't just end with the beginning of a new year. For instance, we don't stop pushing. Just because that particular year's over, we then take it and implement it and apply it in our daily revival resolve. We don't stop being freedom fighters just because that year's over. He expects us to then take that mantle and continue to fight for freedom in ourselves and those around us. Come on, we don't stop launching just because that year is over. We live ready. We live prepared. We live with the hope and expectation every day that God is either launching us or he's preparing us to launch to the next thing. And we definitely don't stop being diligent disciples just because that year is over. That becomes who we are and our new way of life, because he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still taking us from glory to glory and from strength to strength. He's building something beautiful. He's taking us to a deeper place. He's taking us to a higher dimension. He's developing something strong on the inside of you. He's maturing us. He's growing us up in him. And Jesus doesn't waste anything. There's a purpose in the process. Somebody needs to hear that again today. There's purpose in the process. Come on, I said this last year, but it was too good. I had to say it again this time. You might be asking yourself, what was the point of all that? Why did this have to happen to me? Why'd I have to walk through that valley? Why'd I have to get thrown in that furnace? Why'd I have to walk through that trial? Why'd I have to get betrayed by that person? Why'd I have to miss out on that opportunity? But I came to exhort you again at the beginning of this year. It's time to ask the right questions. Don't ask why this happened to me. Ask God, what are you trying to teach me? How can I know you more deeply? How can I trust you more intensely? Because of what I've gone through, how you're gonna turn this around for my good and for your glory? How can I help somebody else who's going through the same type of thing? Do that and see how your perspective starts to shift. See how your attitude starts to adjust. Start seeing Jesus leading you through the midst of even the craziest circumstances instead of just looking at the crazy circumstances. Because there's a purpose in the process. I'm going to start by reading a couple passages of scripture, and we're going to jump right into unpacking the first piece of this new assignment and what the Spirit will say to us today. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose." And Romans 8:37 tells us, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors, and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us." So as we're taking our next step in our revival journey, as we're building on the layers of the previous assignments, what the Lord's calling us to now that will get to the next level, that will break through resistance, that will help us to grow and mature, that will able to firmly and effectively establish his kingdom in this house, in this city, and in this region, is for us to be consistent conquerors. Consistent conquerors. This is directly building off of last year's assignment. And we are so excited to take this next step of our revival journey together. This is the assignment. This is the goal. This is who we're becoming in Christ. Consistent conquerors. I'm so excited about this word because I know that in doing this, in applying this, it will literally change everything. And if you're wondering if we have a definition for this assignment, absolutely. And we'll get to that shortly. But I need to set this up for a moment. Teaser. But I got to set this up for a moment. We'll get there. But you'll see very quickly why it's so imperative that we're consistent in what we say and do. Consistent means showing steady conformity to character, profession, belief, or custom. Always behaving or happening in a similar, especially positive way. It means you are faithful, reliable, dependable, persistent, constant, unchanging, unwavering, steadfast, and immovable. Christians should be known as being consistent. That's who we should be, is consistent. And that's exactly the exhortation from 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Let's read it again. It's so good. "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile nor wasted. It's never without purpose. I love this so much for so many reasons. I'll probably come back and just preach this at some point. But he says, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Be immovable. That's how we are to be. Well, I don't know how to be. No one's ever taught me. Okay, let's start right here. This is how you should be. Steadfast, immovable, consistent. In fact, this whole passage is consistently full of consistent verbiage. Always excelling in the work of the Lord. Always doing your best and more than needed. Continually aware. Never without purpose. Consistent should be our character. Consistent should be our reputation. Because being consistent has become our very way of life. My wife said something very profound recently and confirmed this word. She said, I'm convinced one of the main reasons that the church doesn't see revival is because people aren't consistent in doing what it takes to birth it. Sure, people might see the need for revival. Even people that don't really care about revival see the need for revival. But are they willing to consistently do something about it until it happens? And that's the problem. And it's pretty self-evident what the answer is. Most people are not. They are not willing to do anything, really, but especially not consistently. Sure, they might pray at a prayer meeting, but then not keep up a consistent prayer life of their own every other day at home. They might come and get in the Word corporately once a week, maybe, but then not keep up a consistent reading in the Word of their own every other day. Come on, they might cry out for God to move when they're asked or reminded to, but then not keep a consistent cry of their own every other day at home. And what happens when we're not consistent at doing something? Simply, it doesn't get done. Or at least it never reaches its full potential, which is really the same thing. It never gets to where it needs to go because it keeps stalling out and having to start all over again. Another thing is, it's a really bad witness to be inconsistent and claim to be a Christian. I have a very sad example to show you as we get started, but we're going to turn it. But I used to work at a place, and this is very sad, being a Christian. They knew I was a Christian. But there was a reputation in the community that if they said, God bless you, or have a blessed day, or Jesus loves you, that they probably weren't going to pay their bills. It was like common knowledge. Horrible. Horrible reputation to be known as a Christian and then also known, oh, yeah, they're probably not going to pay up. They're probably not going to keep their word. They're probably not going to do what they said they're going to do. And that's the reputation that they had. It's horrible. So that's part of another reason why we got to change it. Come on. Come on, we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We represent the King of Glory, and he's not a man that he should lie or the son of man that he should change his mind. So the people that are in his image, that are called by his name, that are carrying his image and glory, should we should look and act like him. But the problem really comes in when there's some inconsistencies happening. But other people come along and try to validate being inconsistent and making people feel comfortable within that complacent state. It's a very lazy mindset that serves to please the flesh and to keep people from reaching for the more of God. It's a twisted way to justify not putting forth the effort and not putting forth the work to actually obey God, to actually see the success, and to actually see the promises that He's already ordained for us to walk in. Because being half in and half out isn't going to cut it. Letting your feelings dictate your moods is not going to propel you out of that rut. Allowing your circumstances or other people to determine your joy or your attitude or your actions, oh, that's not ever going to pull you out of a pit and plant you in a palace. Continually focusing on what you don't have or how people did you wrong. Or what you should have done better, but you can't do anything about right now. It's not gonna help you to walk in victory and possess the promises of God. You have to be consistent. You have to consistently do the right thing no matter what. No matter what day it is. No matter who's around. No matter if it's rain or shine, no matter if it's convenient or not, no matter if you're the only one in your family, consistency is the key. It's not just do something, it's do something consistently. I'm going to say this truth, and it just is. You are not what you wish you were. You are what you consistently do.
That's good. My goodness.
Anyone can do something one time. But that one thing, that one time, is not going to produce the results you're looking for. Can you imagine a soldier going out to war and firing one shot in one battle, not even hitting the enemy, but expecting the enemy should just roll over and let him win the war? Of course not. Or a professional athlete who only worked out one day a week, only practiced when they felt like it, were never disciplined in what they ate, and then just showed up on game day expecting to win. No, again. Or maybe a farmer who goes out and only plants one little seed on his whole property and then doesn't make sure it gets any sunlight, never makes sure it gets watered, never makes sure it gets fertilized, but then gets disappointed when he gets little to no harvest. Of course not. You'd think they're crazy. You'd think they're lazy. But that's how many Christians try and walk with the Lord and then get frustrated when they're not seeing the fruit they think they deserve. Well, I tried that prayer thing that one time, but nothing much seemed to happen. I tried that revival thing in that one season in my life, but I didn't see much change. I tried going all in for God that one week at camp, that one time at conference, but it just didn't seem to stick. Of course it didn't stick, because you didn't make it stick. It's not automatic. You still have to do something with it. And it takes consistency for anything to stick. It takes consistency for soldiers to keep pushing and to keep fighting relentlessly until they take out the enemy or die trying. It takes consistency for athletes to train and prepare when no one else is around, when no one else is ever going to know, but to keep staying sharp so they're always ready to go out on the field and win the game. It takes consistency for that farmer to tend to his many seeds and cultivate the right atmosphere and the right environment over many months or even many years for the harvest to slowly grow and mature. Come on, somebody. It takes consistency to renew your mind. It takes consistency to create new good habits. It takes consistency to push back on the gates of darkness. It takes consistency to fill up the bowls in heaven. It takes consistency to build up your spiritual muscles. It takes consistency to cultivate a relationship with God in the secret place. So I say, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to get their consistency back. It's time to get back to God's original design. It's time for us to have the reputation of being faithful, of being reliable, of being dependable, of being persistent, of being constant, unchanging, unwavering, steadfast, and immovable. It's time to get back to being imitators of God. I'll just say it like this. There's no place for flaky, fickle, faithless Christianity. There's no place for that. That wishy-washy way is no way in the kingdom of God. And the up-down, inconsistent, yo-yo version of us needs to stay in yesterday, because today is a new day and there's way too much at stake. There's a harvest that needs some laborers to help bring them in. There's a city that needs to be delivered and set free. There's some prodigals that need some help to find their way back home. Come on. There's a remnant that needs to rise up and take their rightful place and walk in their God-given destiny and stop settling for a hit and miss mediocre existence. But that can only happen to the degree that we conform to consistency. Now, for the purposes of our assignment this year, being consistent is tied into being a conqueror. Mm-hmm.
No, not that, babe.
Oh, praise God. Being consistent is being tied with being a conqueror. And this matters greatly because a conqueror is one who conquers. Hello. One who overcomes an adversary. One who wins a contest of any kind. One who vanquishes another in any struggle, especially in war. One who defeats an enemy in battle. One who gains a victory over any opposing force. Specifically, one who subdues or subjugates by military power. Again, Romans 8:37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. Again, this assignment is part of our core identity. It's who we are. It's who God made us to be in Christ. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you love him and know him, he's given you the right to be children of God. And God's kids are more than conquerors. The ones who love and obey Jesus gain an overwhelming victory. This is who you are, and this is what you've been called to do. Now, I don't know about you. I only heard one come on right there. But that makes me really excited. And that should make you really excited too. Because God doesn't just call you to fight. He calls you to win. And he doesn't just call you to win. He calls you to overwhelming victory. That means that it's not even close. It's a blowout.
That means the devil never even had a chance, because greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. Yes, you have an adversary, but God's given you the grace to overcome him. Yes, you have to fight your flesh, but Jesus has given you the authority to take every thought captive and make your flesh submit to your spirit. Yes, you have to wrestle. Yes, you have to struggle against the world system and against demonic powers, but his spirit has empowered you to win any kind of contest, vanquish any enemy, and walk in victory over any given circumstance. But knowing this and living this are two different things. And living this and then living this consistently every day, week after week, month after month, year after year are also two very different things. Why do some Christians always seem to be successful and whatever their hands find to do prospers, while others seem to always struggle, never really advance, move forward, or break out? I believe now more than ever that the answer is consistency. The ones who always say, I don't understand, they just must be more favored. God's not a respecter of persons. So whatever favor you think they have, you don't. They just might be doing something a little different, like being consistent. They've been diligent about consistently doing the right things regardless. And then they apply that to enforcing the victory Jesus already won until they see the victory manifest. Then they don't stop there. Hallelujah. Well, praise God, I got victory in this one area of my life. He set me free from this one thing. Praise God. It's like, well, that's great. That really is. But that was like 5 years ago. And you got like 10 other things. You got like some other stuff you could work on too. Yeah, but that one time. Man, that one time. It's like, yeah, exactly. So now take that one time and start applying that to every other area too. That's what they do. They apply that to every area of their life until those areas start to come under the abiding victory of Christ. They don't just leave things to chance. And they definitely don't leave things in the hands of the enemy. They are not passive. They're extremely diligent. And their diligence drives them to consistency until there is a conquering. It doesn't matter what devil you're facing. It doesn't matter what obstacle you need to overcome. It could be a bad doctor's report. It could be a financial hardship. It could be problems dealing with people at work. It could be issues with your kids. It could be bad habits that keep sabotaging your progress. Or it could be secret sin that's keeping you bound and held back from advancing into the full freedom in Christ. Whatever it is, your mandate is to conquer it. Your mission is to subdue it. Your assignment is to walk in your God-given authority and use it to tread all over the devil's head. Not just for a day. Not just for a season. Until there's victory. And this is both personal and corporate. You are called to be a consistent conqueror. And we are called to be consistent conquerors together. So with that being said, we decided to define what a consistent conqueror looks like for us and what we believe God's calling us deeper into this year. Now, I will say, We do realize this definition is a bit long.
It's very long.
But it's that important. It's that weighty. It needs to be said, and it needs to go deep down into our bones so we can really grab hold of it and walk it out until it becomes second nature to us, until it becomes who we really are.
So here we go. Are you ready?
Come on. A consistent conqueror is someone who is steadfast on never letting the fire on the altar burn out. They never waver when standing at a threshold, but run forward and willingly adjust their life to the new wineskin. They stay the course resiliently. Regardless of the battle, they only see victory. Their circumstances don't dictate their faithfulness on continually pulling on the glory in every season. Their zeal is dependable. They refuse to be discouraged because they know in due season the conquering king is going to manifest at Freedom House. They keep strong conviction in their speech and actions until they possess the promise. They're never passive with the mundane. Their prayers are filled with high expectation and grit. Courage is their stance and their attitude. They have a relentless raw cry until the walls fall down, until the mountains move, and until the battle is won. Victory's not just an idea. It's the path they know because it's their inheritance. A consistent conqueror sees that their victory flows from a family that fights together. Their obedience and love for God drives them to the front line, and they never back down. They've been seared with an ark assignment and are diligent to bear the weight to carry because they're confident of revival coming to Freedom House. They're willing to sacrifice their lives for the more of Him breaking in to their lives, homes, church, and region. The Freedom House consistent conquerors are an army that does not look back. They don't have their hearts tied to another lover. They have burned the cart and they remain completely unmoved until they see perpetual Pentecost in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because soldiers who aren't consistent don't win wars. Athletes who aren't consistent don't win championships. And farmers who aren't consistent don't reap abundant harvests. It's consistence. Consistence is the key. Consistence is the difference. It's what sets you apart. It's what determines who wins the war. It's what determines who gets the victor's crown. Consistence is what determines if you have a healthy harvest or not. So be consistent conquerors. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Be persistent. Be faithful. Always excelling in the work of the Lord. Always doing your best and more than what is needed. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Because your labor to the Lord, it's not futile or wasted. It always has a purpose. Galatians 6:9 exhorts us with this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. What's another way to say that? If we keep being consistent. If we keep consistently doing what is good. It's not a matter of if, but when. So I came to encourage us again today. Don't get tired. Keep doing what is good. Consistently do the good things that you know to do, because it's the consistent conquerors who will keep fighting until the enemy's under their feet. It's the consistent conquerors who will at some point see God move and respond and see the fruit of their labor be blessed and remain to the end. It's the consistent conquerors who will lay hold of the promises of God. Because it's the consistent conquerors who are in it for the long haul.
That's right.
No matter what. No matter how long it takes. Their consistency has fused with their faith, and they know that it's not a matter of if, but when. They're gonna see revival. They're gonna see awakening. They know they're gonna see the lost found. They're gonna see the baptism water split. They're gonna see people filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues. They know they're gonna see the prodigals come home, addictions being broken, healings, signs, wonders, miracles, and the glory of God cover the earth. Without consistency, it will be impossible to walk out all that God's intended for us this year. It's far from the only step that we're going to take in this. And we're going to break this down over the next several weeks. Come on. But it's the first necessary step. We need consistency of Him. When you're consistently seeking and going after more of Him, it shows that you're really hungry and you're really thirsty to be in His presence. That's why you can have people, even when they're going through a dry season, even when they don't really feel like it, even when they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, how are you still joyful? How do you still have a pep in your step? How are you not affected by all this external stuff? It's because they learned on the backside of a mountain how to be consistent in all circumstances, in the face of all kinds of fears, all kinds of pressure, all kinds of enemies surrounded on every side. It doesn't matter. This is what God called me to do. This is who He called me to be. And I'm going to keep on doing it because I follow Him, not you. When you are consistent for Him, it shows what you really care about. Again, we're not who we wish we were. We're not even what we say that we are. We're who we consistently do. You're demonstrating each day how serious you take the assignment. Serious soldiers, they get it done. They don't make excuses. They go accomplish the mission. Athletes don't make excuses. Well, the ones that win don't. They just go win. They find a way. You're demonstrating how serious you take it. When you're consistent for Him, you can't wait to be in His house. You can't wait to be in the presence of His people. It's never an obligation or an option. Well, you know, unless something better comes along or some other plans come up. Oh, oops, sorry. Sorry, can't make it. No, it's of course I'm going to be in God's house. I'm steadfast. I'm immovable. I'm persistent. I'm faithful. You couldn't keep me away from Him and His house. Where else would I go? What else would I do? Don't you know? I have to be about the Father's business. I just want to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. I got to be consistent to help birth revival in this city. Because you won't birth something that you aren't consistent about. It takes consistency. So be consistent. So today, I'm going to open up these altars and we're going to get our hearts right. And we're going to get our hearts reignited as we step into this new assignment of being consistent conquerors. We have to take the first step into 2024 with some fresh consistency.